Hi everyone, welcome back to Uncensored. I'm Marianne, your host from The Yachts Mermaids, and today I have Jessie Mendez. Hi, Jessie. Thanks for being here. She is the director of a mystery school for women called Wild Essence, and she's also a womb trauma expert.
Yes, thank you.
So you guys may be wondering, what the heck is Jessie doing here today, right? What does she have to do with yachting? And funny enough, Jessie just told me that she actually has a really good friend of her who has been a yachty for a while, for a long time now. And yeah, that was something I didn't know. So there's obviously definitely a thread there. And
yeah,
the main reason why I have asked Jessie, I invited Jessie here today, is because, as you guys know, we've been talking and exposing a lot of the traumatic experiences that, you know, crew in yachts are actually exploring or experiencing it. So we're talking about work harassment, sexual abuse, and all that stuff. And yeah, I just felt the call to bring somebody who, you know, who has helped heal these type of traumas with other people. And yeah, and just kind of like talk a little bit about what we can do after we're experiencing that and how we can heal from that. And also, why are we getting ourselves in that type of situations, right? Because I think this is the number one questions for many people out there listening to these shows is like, why is this happening? You know, especially for the ones that are actually experiencing the trauma, is like, why me, right? So when you hear all this, Jessie, what's coming up for you?
Overthrowing the patriarchy. No, basically, there's definitely a significant number of patterns that are ingrained in all of us that are perpetuating all of this. And it's obviously an atrocious thing to hear about some of the misconduct and the violence that's done onto women all over the planet all the time. And of course, I'm constantly experiencing the effects of that as women come to me after the fact and after as they're navigating some of the challenges that can occur on the other side of those kind of traumas, like endometriosis and PCOS and infertility and wonky cycles and all the stuff that can happen when the body is remembering and recycling traumatic experiences over and over and over again. So I'm of course saying, well, I would love to get to the place where we can pull it before it happens, you know, that we can actually start to re-educate society so that these circumstances are not as prevalent, and also re-educate women so that we know how to advocate for ourselves, how to stand in our power, and how to change the structures that need to change.
So I think that's a really good point. And I believe that it starts with the individual, right? Because it's like, we are the system, right? We're the collective, we're the society. So each individual, you know, the more each person changes, then obviously it has the collective has to change. And I love the fact that you said something along the lines, how to prevent, right, the situations.
Right.
So, what I have been hearing in the industry is that women are going through, and obviously, I'm not saying men don't go through this. I'm sure there's many men that have gone through these type of situations, but I'm just going to talk directly about women because this is what I know. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of women that have come to me, they have talked about, you know, sexual harassment, sexual abuse, rape, work harassment, bullying. And the number one thing that I see across the border is that they believe somehow that these type of behaviors, these type of experiences on yachts is normal. Mm-hmm. So how can somebody prevent something that's normal, right? Or considered normal?
Well, we have to recognize that the implications we're experiencing are proving that it's not. So when we see things like PTSD and all of the symptomatic responses to trauma that I just named, it's clearly not okay if it's causing these things. And I think more and more across the board in all systems, people are starting to, and by people, I mean oftentimes bleeding people or those who identify as women, are starting to recognize that there's something that is missing in the way that we are educated from the ground up And oftentimes it comes through an illness or a trauma or something like that, that we go, wait a minute, something in the matrix is messed up here. So what's unfortunate is that oftentimes it takes that for us to see that it's not normal. And so it's up to those of us who have experienced these kinds of things to call out how much it's not okay. We have to be the ones that draw attention to the fact that, like, there are systemic problems here in the way that we're educated and the things that we grow up understanding and choosing to and learning to accept. And as women, it's a series of things, from not wearing spaghetti string tank tops because it might make boys look at us, rather than teaching boys to have respect.
Right.
So it's those kind of systems that are creating a lot of these challenges in the first place. And it's also the repression of our voices from a very young age that makes us feel like we can't speak. But the work that we need to do internally with ourselves is what builds up the strength to be like, hey, no, not going to tolerate that. Okay, thanks, bye. Right. You know, these kinds of things that will immediately start to reshape and kind of set people back a little bit. Like, wait a minute, did she just say no to something that I thought was okay, or things like that? My friend actually who works on yachts was specifically reading a book called Misogyny on the boat with a group of guys. And so that provoked a lot of conversations. And she would bring that up to me frequently, that how difficult it is to get through some of this information. But the fact that she kept trying to do it anyway was what I was so proud of her for, and that she wouldn't tolerate, you know, the mistreatment that was around her, and that she would bring up the issues and report the issues and raise her voice in moments when it needed to be raised, and not only on her own behalf, but on the behalf of the women who were there with her. Exactly. So I'm incredibly proud of her for that. And she's really what I think is a role model for what needs to start happening.
Yeah. So one of the things that I have seen throughout the show, and what people have, you know, approached me with, right, their stories, is the threat of, I don't feel confident enough, or I don't feel, I don't know what the word is, but they feel threatened if they speak.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, they feel like they're going to lose their jobs, which is exactly. A historical thing. Yeah.
Lose their job, or they're not going to be, there's not going to be somebody backing them up, you know?
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. of maybe a situation they heard somebody happen to, or maybe they have experience where they have spoken and the captains are like, well, you know, do you understand who the owner is? Or, and they just basically don't do anything, right? And then you're kind of like left there, and obviously it's a choice to stay, and that was probably a poor choice on their side. So what's happening in the mindset of somebody who goes through these experiences and decides to stay there? Because I recently heard a story of a big boat, like 80 meter plus, where stewardesses, as they're hired, they're told, do not be alone on any cabin because the security guys, they will rape you. And yet they are giving this information and women are still taking the job. And I mean, maybe they need the money. I mean, in my mind, it just doesn't make any sense. If I need the money or not, is not something I would want to put myself through, because that's a really big, you know, that's too much for me, you know?
I don't know how these people are still employed. That's astounding to me, that's not something that's been so aggressively put on blast. And that's the thing that doesn't happen enough. It's like the fact that we get that story, that needs to be publicized to the point of outrage. There need to be enough women like me going, this is not okay, to the people in charge. And that's what needs to happen. So I think that there's a couple components. So why are they stepping into these spaces? Well, why do women stay in abusive relationships? Why do we subject ourselves to mistreatment when we are able to intellectually identify that it's not acceptable, but some part of us says, apparently I'm going to do it anyway, right? And there's, each woman is different. I'm not going to speak on behalf of everybody's experience, but there is a common thread of, needing to suppress our femininity in order to make ends meet in the world. So that our feminine experience is considered to be more of a curse than the gift that it actually is. And so we're kind of putting it aside and putting our entire, you know, that half of our experience, which to me, like, there's the dark and the light, half of the whole kind of thing. So that's a huge component of who we are. And we ultimately put that aside to step into these spaces, just like you were talking a little bit about menstrual cycles. It's like, we're supposed to hide that and pretend like it's not happening and just keep going along with the same level of energy every day of the month when that's not even minutely close to what's happening hormonally in our bodies and makes zero sense for us to function in that way. And we are not designed to function in that way. And so what happens is it's a repression that we're doing to ourselves that's saying, for some reason, I'm going to allow this, whatever the reason is. And a core need for women on the planet is safety and stability. And sometimes we will compromise our bodies and sacrifice our bodies and sacrifice our honor on behalf of that safety and stability. And that's a challenging thing to navigate internally. But there is very often a piece of us that doesn't believe we're worthy of more respect than that. And that's really hard. That's a hard piece. And it's in most of us in some way or another. And in many of us, it's not just that we don't believe we're worthy. It's that we believe our output in the world, what we do, equals how worthy we are. And so if we are trying to create a stable life for ourselves, if we're trying to make those things happen, we could potentially put ourselves in dangerous situations because we think that that's going to gain us the stability and the safety that we need in the world. And we will compromise our dignity, our honor, and our needs because that's just the world, how it is kind of thing. And I did air quotes that you can't see, but that's just the way the world is kind of thing. And that's the stuff that we have to stop doing, because if we don't stop doing that, then we're feeding the monster. We're feeding the system that's perpetuating this conduct rather than going, wait, what did you just say? You said that if I get on your, if I sign on to this employment position, you're telling me that I will be sexually assaulted. Okay, everyone in the world's about to know about that.
Right.
Thank you very much for informing me.
So this is one of the things, and I, you know, I talk a lot about we gotta speak up. You know, like mm-hmm. we cannot continue to hide. And yes. It's not about shaming men or shaming the perpetrator, because you know everybody has a role in this world, but. Yeah. If we want to change, and I feel like more than it is about the perpetrator and stopping the mm-hmm. perpetrator, is more about actually us as a woman in this case, right? As an individual, mm-hmm. really, like you said, like raising ourselves and putting mm-hmm. ourselves in the place that we're meant to be. Mm-hmm. So this shit stops. You know what I mean? So it's like, mm-hmm. so we don't need this role anymore because we already are where we need to be, you know? So it's mm-hmm. like right now, in a way, we do need that perpetrator because we still need enough push for people to speak up, which is so tough.
It's really unfortunate because the doorways to so much growth is through a very painful, oftentimes traumatic experience that we go, oh, wait a minute, everything about this is not okay. And if it's, I mean, I would also say in addition that one other component to that perpetrator no longer having any fuel would be for those men who are capable of recognizing that there is an injustice happening around them. Those voices need to get louder. Yeah. We need an honorable masculine presence. We need the protector role to exist within ourselves as women and in the men around us. So as the men of the world are waking up a little bit more, they're starting to go, wait a minute. So women who sign on to this job are told they're going to be raped. Like, I'm not okay with that. Let me be a person who's also not okay with that so that this person doesn't have to stand alone. So rather than the men who may be listening now thinking, well, this doesn't really apply to me because I'm a man, it's like, this absolutely applies to you. These are your sisters, your aunts, your daughters, your granddaughters. Like, these are this is the human community, and it absolutely does apply to you. And I think that that role needs to be enhanced as well. We need to have more men stepping into more honorable places and more women using their voices. And I think as women raise their voices, men start looking and going, wait a minute, what's happening here? Oh, I also believe that's wrong. And then that, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So it's twofold.
One of the things about raising our voice as women is, you know, that whole thing of like, oh, I'm afraid, right? And at first, I'm like, I was so fired up when all these people were coming to me and telling me all these stories. I was like, hell no to the no, you know, like, what is happening? But, yeah. You know, I did my homework legally. And obviously I am not the victim of that situations, right?
Right.
Not really. I cannot say names because that can get you in trouble. So, obviously, if you are the victim of that situation, you're not going to get in trouble for speaking the name of the person because you actually went through that and that's your own experience. But yes. Basically, I can't do it for you.
Yes, I know.
But my question is, so a lot of the times we think we need to call out the person that actually did it, right? Because this mm-hmm. is the thing. A lot of these stories, they have names. And these are mm-hmm. names that are very well known in the industry. You know, we're talking about the same thing of like Hollywood, you know. So these are very powerful people with a lot of money, blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. Which I don't even know why we need to really be afraid of that. But so a lot of people stop themselves from coming out and, you know, speaking their story because they don't want... They feel that if they do, they're going to get in trouble. They're never going to get a job and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Now, does it really matter if we say the name or can this woman feel, you know, it's like, if somebody did something like that to me, I would call that person out. Like, absolutely, to authorities, to everything. But that's my own personal choice, right? But mm-hmm. if the women don't want to do this, because there obviously is consequences to doing this, you know, legal processes and all this that they may not want to deal with, how mm-hmm. can they raise their voice so it can help in this situation to stop or at least start to move, right, in a different direction?
Mm-hmm. The first thing that I thought of was I'll do it for them because I don't care. I'll take the risk. Like the structure needs to change. So the system that's allowing it needs to receive an inundation of infuriated bleeding women, ultimately. Like, that's the only thing that's going to shake it. Bleeding women have scared men since the beginning of time. That's just kind of how this goes. So there's a lot to that. And there's a lot that happens when there's strength in numbers. And I would encourage those women to reach out for support from other women. If they don't want to share details, that's okay. I have a group with like 1800 women in it and people share things like this all the time. And they're just seeking support from each other. And sometimes that support helps to build the strength that's necessary to make the claims that are necessary to change things. So I would say that the actual systems that are allowing this are that's what needs to receive the brunt of what's happening. So yes, it's the individual perpetrators are behaving the way they are because systems support them in doing so.
Exactly.
Yes. And so the systems are the same that educated them, that taught them to behave and to think that way in the first place. So what happens when women raise our voices? What happens when women gather together is systems start shaking. And things start changing. And it's because we have the collective component of like, yeah, it's not just her. It's all these 75 other women too. And now they're standing together and looking at you like that kind of a thing. Like, you're going to tell all 75 of those women that this is an insignificant situation. And it's ridiculous that we even have to do that. But I would say that finding support individually for that person so that they can get the help that they need to process some of their trauma may help them to eventually activate their voice. But if there's ever, I mean, I've taken the brunt of what this looks like in my own personal life, in my studio. There was a woman who was assaulted in my yoga studio, didn't want her name mentioned. So I took the brunt of it. And that's something that I've done on countless occasions where I've put myself in the line of fire just because it needs to be handled. And it needs to be something that isn't, that we're not afraid to speak about, because that fear is perpetuating it. That fear is remaining silent in the face of something that's not okay. And we can't let that keep happening. So I would say that the systems themselves need to feel the thunder that something that there are a lot of people that are not okay with this. And I really hope that any men who hear this, who are irked by it, who imagine this happening to their daughters, will also go, whoa, like, I want to have a place alongside these women who are speaking rather than be someone who was silent while it happened.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And there's so many things, you know, and this is one of the things that I don't know, there's so much happening in my brain right now. Two things that did come up for me while you're talking is one, how can these women heal from this, right? So they can actually empower themselves and then hopefully be that voice that really the industry, you know, and not just the industry, what we do for ourselves, for everybody, exactly.
Yeah.
And because this is not just happening in yachting, this is just the audience that we're, you know, the industry that we're in right now, or at least myself and the other girls that are watching. How can this woman, you know, you're a womb trauma expert. So how can they start moving towards that? Because a lot of these women go through these traumas and then they go to psychology and psychiatry and counselors and I don't know, whatever Western stuff. And 3-4 years down the line, they're still traumatized by it. And they're haunted by it. And they can't live a normal life. And they have never been able to go back to a boat. And it's like, obviously it hasn't healed. So you do it very differently. So tell us a little bit about that. And how do you, how can they actually, move, start healing?
I will say the one thing that I believe in with absolute certainty is that healing is a lot more of a spiral journey than a linear journey. We do kind of cycle through many different seasons of cultivating more and more grace as we're moving through the layers. It doesn't just miraculously one day it's gone. There are many, many layers to experience. But what I will say is that I have much respect for neuroscience, and I do very much, I take a lot from some wonderful psychological theory, and there is also a lot within the realm of somatics and polyvagal theory and how our body remembers information. And when our cells remember information and the information is traumatic, and then there's this kind of like stunting that happens where the energetics of that experience or the memory of that experience doesn't get a chance to actually have its completion because something horrendous happens. And then when that something horrendous happens, the body produces a ridiculous amount of stress hormones. And then PTSD ultimately is like reliving that over and over and over again. Like your body thinks it's still happening again and again and again. So even if you comprehend what occurred, even if you've come to terms with, yes, that happened, it's no longer happening, your body doesn't believe you. So what has to change in my experience is that the body needs to feel safe again. And that's what every woman has always ever longed for, is to feel safe. And so creating that safety can be a series of ritual practices that bring you back into connection with parts of your body that you may have cut off or numbed. For example, I do a lot of work within the actual space of the womb, which is all of the organ tissues that are within the pelvic bowl. So the uterus, the ovaries, the fallopian tubes, the vaginal canal. I choose to use the word yoni because the word vagina actually means a sheath for a sword, which is not something that I subscribe to. I don't believe my body is a covering for someone else's body. I believe that it's my own. So I choose a word that means sacred portal instead. So that's my choice of language just for context. So I'll do work around de-armoring the yoni because we store a lot of trauma there, especially when there is a rape involved. This can actually translate into a lack of sexual drive, a lot of different kinds of sexual issues later on, as well as cervical issues and things like that that can happen. The tissues themselves actually store memory, and when we like cut it off and disconnect. So that can look like yoni steaming, womb massage, breast massage, ritual practices that just call you back to nature. And so that you're reclaiming your own sacredness and knowing that nothing can be taken from you, that anyone who wants to can try, but nothing can actually be taken from you, that your sacredness is yours and will always be yours. And so that process is a returning to nature and to recognizing your own cyclic rhythms are mirroring everything you're seeing around you. And you start to become kind of astounded at just how connected you are to it. And the more sacred you see yourself, the more you begin to honor your own experience, the more you disempower those traumatic memories from having a hold on you. And when they do arise, you have practices to navigate them. You have plants that are medicine that support your moment where you're experiencing that anxiety or a chest tightness or constriction in your womb space. And you have plants that support that process, or you have a steam that supports that, or you do a dance that helps your body to move the energy as it's coming. Or maybe you go outside and you scream because you just need to move the energy that you didn't get to move in the moment when you held your breath and didn't let anything come out. Or you just say no a lot of times until you've said no the amount of times that you needed to. And all you have to do is say it to a tree. You don't need, and it's about moving the energy so that you get that experience that you needed that you didn't get when it happened. And there's definitely tremendous ways that I support women in this. I educate about all the different types of tools that you can have in your box. And I support them through that journey if it's something that they're choosing to do and they want consistent support through that so that we can customize what they're doing so that it makes sense for what they've experienced. So that piece, as well as leaning into sisterhood and leaning into other women who have experienced similar things, that's a huge cathartic component. But it is a personal journey of recognizing that just understanding it in your head isn't enough to actually let it move through your body and to reclaim your body as yours when these things are occurring around you and when you feel powerless.
No, it makes sense. I mean, I believe that trauma stores itself in the body, so you have to move it, to release it. So one thing that just kind of popped in my mind, because obviously we're talking about sexual trauma, but yeah. A lot of people do experience psychological trauma. So I had one stewardess come to me and said, he never touched me. He never touched me. But
it doesn't matter.
He said so many things to me. Over and over, it was like this pervert person, right? And it was like just constantly telling her all this. And she went to the captain and she said, okay, this is happening to me. This guy, this man is doing this. And the captain said, well, has he touched you? And she said, no. And he said, well, I can't do anything. And I was like, okay, well, that's not okay yet. Obviously, that was her choice to stay in that situation because she could have left.
I agree.
Yet, she stayed in the situation until she couldn't take it anymore. She was traumatized, and that's when she had to leave because she couldn't even, function anymore. And even though he never touched her, she is absolutely traumatized.
Yeah, absolutely, so because it's psychological warfare.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And this is similar to narcissism in abusive relationships where a person is gaslighted or made to feel small or made to perceive their experience in a way that is distorted from reality. And what starts to happen is if any of those things that were said become something that person then hears so many times that they start believing it about themselves, whatever it is, or they start seeing themselves in the way that they're being seen, then they can have a massive crisis surrounding their identity as well. So I think that has a lot to do with what is occurring. And there's a lot that person can do with reclaiming their voice. The things that they did not say to the person who was speaking to them need to be said out loud. And there's a lot of that has to happen. And I think that it's a matter of not just that, but did anything you heard Is it something that you already believed about yourself because of society teaching it to you for as long as you did, as they did, like that you are a sexual object or something like that in the way that it was constructed, the sentences were constructed. And it's like, that is something that we adopt into our role. And so because we accept it in some tiny way, it hurts even more because some part of us is like, yeah, that is all I am. And that's what needs to be rewired. And again, it comes back to the same practices of honor and recognizing our worth in a really deep way. And that is a journey into what it really means to be a woman and what it means to have those kinds of power and rhythms that have been repressed by all of, you know, all of the last 5,000 years for sure, if not before that as well. Yeah. And so I think a lot of what I think is interesting about this is it traces back to like the burning times and the witch trials, because there's a lot of remembered information from our ancestral lines that this is not me being woo woo. This is epigenetic science. So you're welcome to look it up for those who are like, I am a woo woo, but I also bring the science always along with it. So you remember things through your blood, just like your eyes are the color that they, you know, your ancestors decided with their blood that your eyes would be. You also carry memories of theirs through your blood, and you carry emotional information. And so if there was a ton of repression of voice of the women in your line, you may find that it's unreasonably difficult to speak up in those moments. And that is not something to just say, well, it's just going to be like that, so I'm going to leave it that way. That's something to take back on their behalf, you know, for all of the women whose generations and generations couldn't do those things. Yeah. So it is similar. I would recommend the book Witch by Lisa Lister. I love that book so much because it talks about those things. It talks about the burning of women for being powerful, for having a voice, for not following societal norms, for doing things differently, for being healers, for being midwives, for working with plants, you know, mm-hmm. and we learn a lot about why we might remember our experience so with so much tension around our throats. Mm-hmm. And another interesting fact about that is the throat and the vaginal canal are very intimately connected, just as your jaw and your pelvis are very intimately connected, because they come out of the same cell while you're growing in utero. Mm. So the jaw experiences what the pelvis experiences and vice versa, and the yoni experiences what the throat experiences and vice versa. So that's why we need to make so much sound during like a birthing process or through orgasm or whatever it is. And that's also why when there is any kind of sexual trauma, the voice is even more repressed afterwards, because they're related. And so things like just making sound and singing and things like that, which used to be a huge part of our cultural awareness as a human species, can be really medicinal for a person who didn't feel like they got to speak up the way they needed to in taking back power over their experience and their sovereignty, their right to be a whole person who chooses what they allow in their environment wholeheartedly. And I think when we have things like that happen, we stop allowing a lot of things to be in our space. And we start standing up against those things. And this is not to shame any women who are continuing to subject themselves to this. This is not to say you should be stronger. This is to say, I hope that you find the tools that will bring you into a place that is so powerful that you only tolerate what honors you so deeply. And that's what you choose, because that's what you deserve. It's not to shame the fact that you haven't spoken up. It's to say, I see you. I get it. I honor you, and here's your power back. Mm-hmm. Like, it's right here. You get to take it. It's yours, and you get to decide what you tolerate.
Well, exactly. I totally agree. And just me doing these interviews with different people, you know, and them sharing their stories, I have had to reclaim and also forgive myself for not standing up for myself, not standing up for others, not speaking up when I knew that shit was not right. Yes. You know, it's a whole process of grieving and forgiving, and then, like you said, reclaiming, you know, and obviously today I stand in a place where I can say no. Yet again, before I got into the call with you, I was reading through one of the Facebook groups of stewardesses, and there's a girl who wrote, hey guys, is this normal that they've been asking me for X amount of photos of me, body-wise, length-wise, you know, like all this stuff. It's like, okay, obviously it's not okay, and it's not normal, yet there's all these people coming into the industry. They're young women. They're like 20, 21, and they're thinking that, you know, this stuff, this type of things are okay. I'm thinking that, you know, depending on your weight or your height, they'll hire you and all this. And to be honest, like, I've been doing this for 14 years. Yes, there is that, but it's not the norm. You know what I mean? Like, people have made it the norm because they believe it's the norm, but it's really not. So I just wonder.
Double standards. It's double standards. Ultimately, that's what it is. It's the idea that women, in order to be considered for this position, have to submit this stuff that would never be submitted by any men that were applying for any similar or parallel position whatsoever. So that part is really awkward.
But what comes up for me is it really, you know, isn't the industry just a mirror of what we internally haven't really dealt with? You know, because
100%.
What I see a lot is like, poor me, the industry is bad. This is happening.
Yeah.
Yet we're still in the industry. Yet we're still, you know, more people are coming in the industry. And yet not many, if any, women, and I'm talking women here, or men actually, have actually said, you know, actually this is not just yachting. This is something within myself.
Yeah.
So absolutely. For those who are ready, you know, to stop claiming, for those who are ready to reclaim, for those who are ready to understand this exterior is just a mirror of my internal world, what's your advice for them?
I'm a constant believer in microcosm, macrocosm. So everything we're looking at around us is absolutely reflecting what our internal environment looks like. I definitely believe that's what we're seeing on a global spectrum right now. So when you're experiencing a circumstance where, for example, the industry is sizing you up, is that not what we do in the mirror every morning? Is that not the way that we pick ourselves apart with the creams that we buy and the injections that we think we need and the cutting that we think we need and all of those things? And this is not to shame anyone who believes that that is enriching their life experience. Choose what you choose. But the feeling of needing to be more than we are is a feeling of unworthiness. It's a feeling of, as I am, I'm not enough. And if I believe that, then I'll believe that about everything in my reality as well. And with that fragmentation occurring, we're not able to do a lot of what we're capable of in the world. So what I would say is that start journaling every day and start naming the feelings that you have as they come up. And oftentimes we don't even know what a feeling actually is. A feeling isn't like, I feel like I think the world is weird. That's not a feeling. I feel frustrated. I feel angry. I feel insecure. I feel sad. And then actually starting to see what our emotional experience looks like will show us a lot about some of these patterns. And that's one of the beautiful aspects of psychology, is we start to see when we built those patterns as we were trying to figure out how to receive love when we were small. Mm-hmm. And so we can have compassion for where things come from and also still be choosing not to let those things run our lives. I did a video today and I basically called them like an old toaster. It's like having an old toaster in your kitchen that doesn't work anymore, but you keep putting bread in it thinking that it's going to work. That's what these old patterns are. It's like you think that you're going to do the same thing you did when you were 3 years old to receive love, which is like, you know, perform or scream and cry or do whatever it is. We use the same mechanisms that worked when we were little, even if it's really an outdated program that doesn't work anymore. And if we are exploiting ourselves, or if we're putting ourselves in situations where we feel validated by the environment because we're receiving compliments or disgusting conduct, you know, like it could go either way. There is a part of us, there's a really great book that I think everybody should read called Existential Kink. and it talks about, it like flips everything on its head, and it's like some of the things that we think we hate are actually feeding some weird part of our ego. That's like why we're allowing it, is this strange psychological kink that we have, that, you know, that's why we're attracted to bad men or whatever. We're attracted to the men that are going to hurt us or whatever it is, things like that. Right. And it's like that some part of us is eating something up out of that. We're getting some sort of weird validation, and we don't realize it because we don't know ourselves intimately enough. So the short answer is you need to know yourself. The long answer is, that's a huge undertaking that you will have to do at some point or another. So you might as well start doing it as soon as you can, and really starting to get to know what your patterns are, and checking yourself when they're coming up, and checking yourself when you're accepting things that are feeding them and fueling them to continue to rule your reality.
I mean, wow. I feel like there's so much content just in this few minutes. I think I'm going to wrap it up sure. Just because I want them to be, you guys to digest, because I also probably need to digest some. And so if somebody is wanting to heal and move forward, and, you know, they resonate with you, how can they reach out to you? How can they find you? So maybe
you
can get some help from you.
Sure. I'll tell you one thing. The majority of the emails I receive, they start with a sentence that sounds something like, I don't even know what I need, but I feel like I need to reach out to you. Almost all of them start like that, because it's like the whole point is that you're not really sure what it is. You just can feel that there's something that feels off or achy, or it feels untended. And it's a mystery. And that's why it's a mystery school, because you're genuinely like, I don't know what this is, and I don't know what I need, but I feel like you know something that I'm not seeing about this. And I'm like, yes, okay. Let me tell you all the things we can do. So email is my favorite way to connect. And then if you want to go further from there, we can just have a quick chat on the phone. So my email is howl@wildessence.org, and you're welcome to send me an email, and just, you know, I'm the only one pretty much that reads them, and you're welcome to just be like, hey, so here's what's going on in my experience, and don't hold anything back. People give me lots of things all about their different situations, from their medical diagnoses to what they're experiencing sexually to, I get so many bleeding messages throughout my days, every day, all the time. So there's nothing that's too much information for me. You're welcome to just give me the whole rundown, and I'll give you my best counsel from there. And then we can talk about whether online courses are a good idea, whether working one-on-one is the best idea based on the needs of the specific person. So I would say email, and then if they want to have a phone call, we can go from there. But you're welcome to learn more about what we do at wildessence.org.
Awesome. And I will be, everybody, like below the video, you can click on all the email and the website, so you can check out what Jessie does and how she could potentially support you. And before we go, just something came up in my mind, and it was, when somebody is experiencing some sort of trauma, whether it's sexual, non-sexual, psychological, spiritual, physical, in the moment, what is the one advice that you could tell them that they could do on their own to potentially help them to move out of that situation?
Oh, like if it's in the moment happening?
Yeah. Like if exactly. They're like in the moment, not obviously, maybe while there is something happening, you know, like just once, not in the specific moment that is happening, but like in the situation, you know, like if somebody,
maybe I would say, ask yourself, what would you want for your granddaughter? Have a moment where you're like, what would I want if this was my daughter? What would I want if this was my granddaughter? And then be the woman who would set that example in all the possible ways. So if that means that, you know, when the story is told, that it's told that you were kicking and screaming and that you were brave and that you fought, then that's beautiful. You know, like if it, you know what I mean? Like really think about, like, if the story were told to my daughter, if the story were told to my grandma and my granddaughter, what would I want her to hear of me? What would I want her to know of me in this time, that I fought back against a system that sought to repress me, and that I chose to do everything within my capacity everything within my understanding to stop it. And also not to shame yourself if you feel that you can't, to do your best not to shame yourself if you feel too scared in the moment. Just know that you're far from alone in that experience, that shame is far older than you are. It's oftentimes hundreds and hundreds of years old. And that does have a lot to do with why we hold ourselves back in those moments. So do your best to do what you would want for your granddaughter or daughter to hear the story of you doing. And then don't shame yourself no matter what.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jesse, for showing up, for sharing your wisdom with us. And I'm sure a lot of people are taking a lot of this. And, you know, like I always say, take what you need, leave what you don't. You know, for everybody out there, if you really resonate with what we talked about here and you feel that you could be another voice, please speak up. So
yes,
if you have something to share, wisdom to pass on, this platform is always open for any of you. It's a wrap.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Bye, guys. See you next time.